The founder of the ancient Greek philosophy of Stoicism was a man named Zeno of Citium, and along with living a simple life, he was known for eating a simple diet, specifically a lentil soup served in a clay pot. So thank you to Wild Grain for sponsoring this video as we eat like a Stoic, this time on Tasting History. In the city of Athens at the end of the 4th century BC, the philosopher Zeno of Citium taught his students how to live a well-reasoned life based on virtue, tolerance, and self-control. And he gave his lessons at a decorated portico known as the Stoa Poikile, which later gave his philosophy the name Stoicism, though only after it was initially known as Zenoism. Besides teaching his philosophy at the Stoa Poikile, Zeno was known for walking around Athens with a bowl of lentil soup. See, before he started Stoicism, Zeno was a follower of the Cynics. One of the Cynic philosophers, a man named Crates, decided that Zeno needed to let go of the shame that he felt following societal norms. And he did this by telling Zeno that he had to eat lentil soup in public, because lentil soup was seen as beneath him. It was something for the very, very poor. And Zeno had not been poor. He had actually been a very wealthy merchant, and so he was embarrassed to be seen eating this lentil soup in public, and so he would kind of conceal it. And so Crates one day came up to him and took his staff and broke the bowl of lentil soup, leaving lentil soup to drip all down Zeno's legs so he couldn't hide the fact that he was eating it. And I suppose this was some sort of like exposure therapy, but it worked because one of the staples of Zeno's teachings ended up becoming simple eating, eating things like lentil soup. Now, we don't actually know what was in Zeno's soup at that time. Honestly, it was probably just lentils and water. Super, super simple. But if I just boil a pot of lentils, that'll make for a very uninteresting and rather short video. So I'm going to look at some of the other teachings of Stoics later on in history and see what they say about food to try to recreate a recipe that Zeno could have made. And I'm going to base that on another recipe that actually does exist from De Re Coquinaria, the ancient Roman cookbook. And it is definitely fancier, so we will have to pick and choose what we're going to take and what we're going to leave. But it says, boil the lentils. When skimmed, put in leeks and green cilantro. Pound coriander seed, pennyroyal, silphium, mint, and rue. Moisten with vinegar, add honey, blend with garum, vinegar, and difrutum. Pour over the lentils, add oil, serve. So many of these ingredients would be perfectly acceptable to the Stoics. They were often talking about things like vegetables and herbs and honey being absolutely appropriate for the Stoic diet. But then some other things like the silphium, which was very expensive, and the garum, which could be expensive as well, probably not part of the Stoic diet. So for this Stoic-friendly version of lentil soup, what you'll need is 1 pound or 450 grams of lentils, 6 cups or 1.5 liters of vegetable broth, 1 large leek, chopped up, a small handful of torn cilantro leaves, 2 teaspoons of salt, 2 teaspoons of ground coriander seed, 2 teaspoons of chopped mint, 2 teaspoons of chopped pennyroyal. I could only find dried pennyroyal, but it will work. Then 2 teaspoons of chopped rue. Now a word about both pennyroyal and rue. Both of them are herbs, both of them are kind of hard to find, and neither of them should be eaten if you are pregnant. It is not good if you are pregnant, but anyone else can eat them. It takes a lot of it to be harmful to anyone else, so there you go. But if you don't want them, then just leave them out. Honestly, anything in this recipe, except for the lentils, you can leave out because it's all kind of based on guesswork, except for the lentils. Then 3 tablespoons of red wine vinegar, 1 tablespoon of honey, 1 tablespoon of difrutum. Both honey and difrutum would be used as sweeteners. And difrutum today is usually called either mostocotto or sapa, and it's just reduced grape must, so it's a little bit sweet. And they were mentioned by other Stoics later on during the ancient Roman Empire, but you can keep them, you can leave them, either way. I think they're delicious, so I'm keeping them in. Also, you're going to need just a little bit of olive oil and specifically 12 coriander seeds. And I say specifically because this is one of the only things that Zeno may have actually had in his version of the soup. See, the ancient author Athenaeus wrote a work that was basically a dinner party of all of the ancient Greek philosophers, and he ends up quoting a lot of them, and it's, in many cases, all we have of the original works. And one of those is maybe a quote from Zeno. It says, "Lentils are a tragic food, but it is a Stoic doctrine that the wise man will do everything well and will be able to cook even lentils cleverly. As if a lentil could not be boiled in any other way except according to the precepts of Zeno, who said, 'Add to the lentils 12 seeds of coriander.'" I love that lentils are a tragic food. Another tragic food that the Stoics did enjoy was barley bread. It was typically kept for the very poor or animals or slaves, but the Stoics were often eating barley bread, so you could have some of that to dip into your soup, though I would much prefer some nice fresh-baked sourdough, courtesy of today's sponsor, Wild Grain. Wild Grain is the first Bake From Frozen subscription box for sourdough breads, artisanal pastries, and fresh pastas. And delivery day has become one of my favorite days of the month because I know that anything in that box is going to be excellent. From the sourdough bread, the croissants, the scones, they work with small bakeries and pasta makers around the country to bring some of their best creations to your kitchen. It's perfect for that person who loves to have fresh baked goods at home, but maybe doesn't have the time to do all of the baking from scratch themselves. All you do is the actual baking. You can choose exactly what you're gonna get, but let me promise you, the chocolate chip cookies are a must. I get them in every box, and they are always the first thing to go. So to give Wild Grain a try, go to wildgrain.com/tastinghistory, or just use my link in the description and use code TASTINGHISTORY, and you will get $30 off of your first box, plus you will get free croissants in every box for life. That is free croissants for life when you use my link in the description. But before we go eating any croissants or freshly baked breads, we're gonna need to make our lentil soup. So, for this, start by bringing the vegetable broth to a simmer. Then rinse the lentils well in some cool water and drain them and put them in the pot of simmering broth. And then cook the lentils for 20 minutes up to an hour. It really depends on what lentil you're using and they can vary wildly, so look at the bag of the lentils that you bought and follow those instructions. While they cook, make sure your leeks are chopped well and then add those and the cilantro and stir them in along with the salt. Also, if like me, you always underestimate the size of pot that you actually need to cook something, you can go ahead and transfer your lentils to a larger pot at this time. I was really surprised at just how much my lentils swelled up, but they do. And depending on what lentils you're using, they will swell at different rates. So if you need to add some more broth or just some more water, if you want it more liquidy, go ahead and do so at any time. Then let the soup cook for another 20 minutes to soften up the leeks, and while it cooks, add the ground coriander seed, pennyroyal, mint, and rue to a mortar and grind them together just a bit, and then add in the vinegar, the honey, and defrutum, and stir. Then pour this into the soup and mix everything together, and then lower the heat and let it simmer on low so all of the flavors can get to know each other in the pot as we get to know what some other Stoic philosophers thought about food. As I mentioned, the founder of Stoicism was Zeno of Citium, but to understand a bit of his philosophy, at least when it came to food, it is important to understand a bit of the philosophy that it was born out of, and that is cynicism. Now, the word cynic and the word Stoic are still around today, and they do come from the original philosophical meanings, but they don't really mean the same thing anymore, so kind of forget the modern use of both of those words for this video. Anyway, the Cynics were all about achieving happiness through simple living and shamelessly dispensing with societal norms. And one story that exemplifies this thought just perfectly has to do with lentils. One day, the famous philosopher Diogenes was sitting on the ground beside a massive jar, which he actually called home, and there he was eating some dry barley bread and a bowl of lentils. Another philosopher, Aristippus, comes up to him and sees him eating these lentils. Now, Aristippus was a hedonist and was pretty much the exact opposite of everything that Diogenes stood for. Aristippus found happiness, or at least he purported to, by simply seeking pleasure, pretty much at any cost. And one of the ways that he sought pleasure was to gain the favor of the tyrant of Syracuse at the time, a man named Dionysius. So Aristippus sees Diogenes sitting there in the filth, eating lentils, and he says, "If you would learn to flatter the tyrant, you would not have to live on lentils." To which Diogenes replied, "If you would learn to live on lentils, you would not have to flatter the tyrant." Quite the comeback. And it was that latter philosophy that influenced Zeno. So essentially, Zeno's philosophy of Stoicism was all about controlling what you can control and only caring about that and not concerning yourself with the things in life that you can't control because you have no control over them. Now, when it came to food, this didn't mean that you went out of your way to seek unappetizing food. It more meant that whatever food you got, you should just learn to be happy with it, and then you'll be happy. The Stoic Seneca said, "It is not the man who has too little, but the man who craves more who is poor." Now, Seneca didn't consider extravagant food good or bad, but rather it was the desire for extravagant food that was the problem. It's not like he pretended that bland food was good. Rather, the good came from just accepting that the bland food was what you got. He says that you would be happier doing that than the person who craved extravagant food, even if they got that extravagant food. Although there is nothing delightful about water and barley gruel or a crust of bread, still it is a very great pleasure to be able to get pleasure even from these things. A drink gives more enjoyment to one who is thirsty. Food is more welcome to one who is hungry. Seneca believed this so much that he often practiced a sort of voluntary hardship. And it was voluntary because it wasn't like he couldn't afford to eat whatever he wanted. The man was extremely wealthy. In fact, pretty much all of the Stoics, or at least most of them, were wealthy, going all the way back to Zeno, but they got happiness through simple living, despite the fact that they were wealthy. In one letter to a friend, Seneca urged him to set yourself a period of some days in which you will be content with very small amounts of food, and the cheapest kinds, and with coarse, uncomfortable clothing, and say to yourself, "Is this what I was afraid of?" Not that you therefore have reason to think you are doing some great thing. You will only be doing the same thing as many thousands of slaves and poor people. We will be less anxious in prosperity if we know how trivial a thing it is to be poor. Spoken like someone who had never actually been poor. And his sentiment is a little undercut by the fact that after these few days of living simply, he could just go and eat and do whatever he wanted because he didn't live this life 24/7. But another Stoic philosopher, Epictetus, had, at least early in life, known forced poverty and hardship as he was born into slavery. His writings on food have more to do with the idea that delicious food, like anything, was a fleeting pleasure and we should instead seek contentment within ourselves rather than through external pleasures, especially because many of those external pleasures, once had, will lead to feelings of regret and guilt. He says, "When you are confronted with some pleasure, guard yourself, lest you be carried away by it. Let it await your action. Give yourself a moment. After that, think of two things. First, the time when you have enjoyed the pleasure, and second, later on, when you will regret it and hate yourself." He often uses food to make points about how a Stoic should behave, and usually it's all about self-restraint. He likens all of life to a banquet, saying, "Behave in life as you would a banquet. If a dish is handed to you, take a moderate share. If you wish for a particular platter, do not lunge for it, but wait for it to come to you. If it should pass by, do not complain. More than this, if you abstain from the rich desserts that come your way, passing them on to others, you will become worthy to rule with the gods." I think my favorite quote of his, even though it doesn't specifically have to do with food, could be applied to food, and it says, "Wealth consists in not having great possessions, but in having few wants." Now, Epictetus was a student of yet another Stoic philosopher named Musonius Rufus, and Rufus, more than any other, was specific about what should and what should not be eaten by a Stoic. He said that inexpensive food was preferred to expensive, and abundant foodstuffs was preferred to those that were more rare. Now, food from plants of the earth is natural to us. Grains can nourish man well, and also food other than flesh from animals. Of these foods, the most useful are those which can be used at once, without fire, since they are also most easily available. For example, fruits in season, some of the green vegetables, milk, cheese, and honey. Also, those which require fire for their preparation, whether grains or vegetables, are not unsuitable and are all natural food for man. So it's best to eat things that you don't have to cook at all, but if you do have to cook, then grains and vegetables are best, and definitely no meat from an animal. But he says that it's not because of anything to do with the animal itself, it's actually because those who eat meat tend to think less logically. For this reason, the people who make larger use of meat seem slower of intellect. Then he particularly rips into the gourmands of the day, people like Apicius, who I have talked about many times on this channel. And it's not just the people who eat things like roasted dormouse and flamingo tongue and a whole roasted pig and all these things. It's specifically the people who write the recipes down. We have come to such a point of delicacy in eating and gourmandery that as some people have written books on music and medicine, so some have even written books on cooking, which aim to increase the pleasure of the palate, but ruin the health. It is at all events a common observation that those who are luxurious and intemperate in food have much less vigorous health. He says that a lot of these fancy cooking techniques give men unnatural cravings, similar to those that women develop when they are pregnant. The one thing that he does admit is that eating, specifically gluttony, but eating good food in general, is one of those harder vices to kick. For other pleasures, we encounter less often, and we can refrain from some of them for months or whole years. But of necessity, we are tempted by food every day, and usually twice a day, since it is not possible for man to live otherwise. Thus, the oftener we are tempted by pleasure in eating, the more dangers there are involved. And indeed, at each meal, there is not one hazard for going wrong, but many. It is fitting for us to eat in order to live, not in order to have pleasure. I get the sentiment, I really do, but yeah. It's not for me. I would not flourish under the Stoic philosophy, at least when it came to food, at least Rufus's version of Stoicism, because he was one of the more stringent Stoics, at least when it came to food. For me, I prefer someone like Marcus Aurelius, who is probably the most famous Stoic and was one of the more measured in his instructions for eating and living in general, partly because while he may have wished to live simply, he was also the emperor of Rome, so he couldn't just cut everything out and live in a jar on the street. He was more about simply being mindful of when you do eat and acknowledging what is necessary and what is maybe not necessary when you eat. When you are eating, do not just look at the meats and dishes before you, but also remember that this is the carcass of a fish, a bird, a pig. And then for this bottle of Falernian wine, what is it but a little moisture squeezed out of a grape? And when it was in his power to live and eat simply, he absolutely did so. In a letter to a friend, he wrote, "We went to lunch. What do you think I ate? A small portion of bread, although I witnessed others devouring beans, onions, and herrings full of roe. We then diligently gathered grapes, working up a good sweat, and we were happy. And as the poet says, we still left some clusters hanging high as gleanings of the vintage. After 6 o'clock, we came home." So when it comes to the Stoics, they definitely had some slightly differing views on food. And that makes sense because they were separated not only by lifestyle, but also by centuries of time. This was a span of several hundred years. But in the end, it was all about simple eating, not for its own sake, not just to eat simply, but to rid yourself of the need to not eat simply. And for Zeno of Citium, that held true even during a time when anyone would expect that he should be able to eat whatever he wants. Zeno of Citium, even when he was ill, thought that no unusually delicate food should be brought him. And when the attending physician ordered him to eat squab, he would not allow it and said, "Treat me as you would treat my slave Manes." Personally, when I'm ill, I want chocolate ice cream, but I don't think that that was on any of the Stoics' menu, so I'm going to have to be content with this lentil soup. So as soon as the soup is ready, dish it up and add those 12 coriander seeds that Zeno mentioned, as well as a drizzle of olive oil. And here we are, lentil soup for a Stoic philosopher. Here we go. It's actually really, really good. Yeah, that is actually a lot better than I anticipated. Simple, yes. Delicious, also yes. So one, I love the texture of lentils. When they're not cooked to a complete mush, like there's still a little bit of bite to them. What's cool though is, while there is a hint of sweetness from the honey and the de frutum, it is not a lot of sweetness. Really what I'm getting most of, I think, is the leek. And then a little bit of the mint and the pennyroyal, but not so much the flavor, but rather the cooling effect of that kind of mint. So it doesn't have any like toothpaste flavor at all. It's just the cooling of the mint, which I really, really enjoy. That's really good. Again, this is probably more complicated than what Zeno was actually eating, because he was probably just eating lentils and water, which is fine. This is more complicated, but there is nothing that he couldn't have been eating here and that probably some later Stoics would have been eating. What's really interesting is that this dish in a modern form still exists in Greece today. They usually add more vegetables, they add some New World ingredients like tomatoes, but it hasn't changed all that much, and I think it's really cool that over 2,500 years, the dish is still hanging around. Really good. Actually, let me get another bite. It's just hearty. I could actually eat like a big old bowl of this. Make this. It's really easy. Make some alterations to it if you want. And yeah, eat like a Stoic. Learn a little bit more about Stoicism. It's interesting. I probably wouldn't be able to live as a Stoic, at least not when it came to food, but still, kind of cool to pretend and live by some of the philosophies, which I do think are pretty cool. Anyway, enjoy, and I will see you next time on Tasting History.